Thank you for welcoming me this morning. And I offer this reading from my friend and colleague, the Reverend Tess Bomberger. Wouldn't it be great if you could take a picture of your soul? Then when your mother wanted to brag about you, she could show people the picture and say, "That's my daughter. Doesn't she have a beautiful soul, all sparkly and many colored and flowing all around her?" Wouldn't it be great if we walked around surrounded by our souls so that they were what the first thing people saw instead of the last things? Then people would judge us by who we really are instead of how we look. Imagine no more racism, ageism, sexism, fatism, shortism, homophobia. Imagine falling in love with who a person is just by looking at them. It would be a kind of cloaking device hiding physical faults, defects, or even perfections. I want it to be mandatory. Then people would work at making their souls more attractive instead of their bodies and faces. Imagine people knowing by your soul that you really need a hug. Imagine people helping each other and their souls changing color or growing. Imagine soul gyms with exercises to get your sagging soul in shape. Imagine the long lines forming for soul lifts at churches, temples, mosques, synagogues, or nature's grand cathedrals. We come together each Sunday morning, as so many do, for soul lifts. This morning, we also celebrate Father's Day, a day to honor, yes, the individuals who have offered fathering to us, and also the aspects that fathering brings to our own soul lifting, our soul nurturing, our soul parenting. It was one of those amazing early October days when the first frost has happened and yet the warmth of summer lingers. My dad and I are on a road trip. I'm 9 years old and we rarely have these times, just the two of us. Driving from our home in Montreal to visit my cousins in Ottawa, a couple of hours away. The leaves were in their full glory of reds and oranges, yellows and browns. Dad pulls over so we can walk for a little while in the beauty of it all. I run ahead as a nine-year-old just might, creating a bouquet of the brightest colored leaves and bringing them back to give to my dad. And I see a tear roll down his cheek. My dad didn't cry. And I asked him, "What's the matter, Daddy?" "This is a perfect moment," he said. "You and me here, it's all so beautiful and interconnected, and I am so filled of the joy of it all that it's leaking out of my eyes as tears." And then he hugged me, and I felt as safe and secure and loved as anyone possibly could in a moment. Most Father's Days, I remember this moment in particular. And each year offers different insights in the remembering. this year, thanks to your invitation, I also hold a lens of caring, nurturing, and parenting my soul. And so there is an added poignancy in reflecting on the wonderful positive attributes of fathers. And to name a few of those, it's protector, nurturer, creator, and role model. We each have a father, an undeniable universal commonality we share with every other mammal on the planet. For some of us, as has already been mentioned in the Candles of Care, the mere mention of the word father generates a warm, fuzzy feelings. For others, fear. And for some, a sense of abandonment due either to the death or absence of their father. And for some of us, sadly, a numbness or nothing. As we each have a father, I also believe we each have a soul, that part of ourselves that guides our conscience, that enables us to connect to other beings, that connects us to that which is greater than ourselves as well. It is the aspect of the self that allows wonder and curiosity to be explored and has us feel safe in the world. The soul is often wounded or hidden, though, in the process of growing up. And it requires lifelong care, lifelong parenting, I'm suggesting. I stopped living with my dad when I was about 14, and I must say that the last 2 years of our living together were less than a positive experience for either of us. And perhaps that is part of what being 14 is all about. And I never doubted that my father loved me. Not all can say this. And with its absence, the soul becomes more hidden. I've seen this in the work that I've done in pastoral care, and before a minister when I was a counselor, that wounded and broken place of not having that sense of being truly and deeply loved. I think the soul is in some ways as vulnerable as a child. So parenting is a good metaphor for our ongoing soul work. And while there are many aspects to this work, this morning, recognizing that you as a congregation have been engaged in looking at nurturing the soul all month, today, in honoring Father's Day, it will be some of those aspects that I will explore. There are four positive attributes that I suggest can be applied to fathers. And I'm not saying that that is all the positive attributes there are, or that the four suggested apply to all fathers. I am proposing that the ideal of father would include these aspects, these attributes, as guiding forces. That of protector, of nurturer, of creator, and role model or mentor. And that these attributes are part of our lifelong parenting of our souls. In The Bonfire of the Vanities, Tom Wolfe writes, "Sherman made the terrible discovery that men make about their fathers sooner or later, that the man before him was not an aging father, but a boy much like himself, a boy who grew up and had a child of his own and, as best he could, out of a sense of duty and perhaps love, adopted a role being called a father, so that his child would have something mythical and infinitely important, a protector who would keep a lid on all the chaotic and catastrophic possibilities of life. This is some of what we must do as parents of our own souls to keep the lid on the chaotic. I also reflect on Sigmund Freud, who said, "I cannot think of any need in a child as strong as the need for a father's protection." Yet this may be the attribute that has been most corrupted. There have been cultural and social substitutions or reductions of the role of protector to that of disciplinarian, fighter, controller, or punisher. Spare the rod, spoil the child. You may have heard this. And there is something inherently perverted in that saying. And in a society that perpetuates the beating of its children. To protect means to shield from injury, not to inflict it. This may sound somewhat harsh, and I know that there was a time in my own single parenting when I, in total frustration, hit my own child. It's something I'm ashamed of, almost embarrassed to admit, a thing for which I have the greatest remorse in my life. And I've asked my son's forgiveness so many times. He basically shakes his head and goes, he doesn't even remember. In Sweden, they passed a law against corporal punishment of any kind directed towards children. This includes parents spanking their children. Now, I know that this may be a controversial issue, and some in this room may feel that the occasional slap on the wrist or spanking may be well deserved, and some may even feel more extreme physical discipline appropriate. However, I find it interesting that the statistics in Sweden with regards spousal abuse, violent crimes like rape and murder, are all significantly lower than other places in the world, and specifically North America, including Canada. It took one generation for the shift to happen in Sweden. Nonviolence must begin in the home. How many other aspects of social ills that we are facing now come back to this violence? In the correct role of protector, a father shields his children from harm or injury, is their guardian, watches over them, and is legally responsible for them. This then enables the child to feel safe in the world, willing to explore, because there is a foundation of security, a haven. This is what we are called to do in our soul parenting as well. To be protectors of that soft space within. The image that comes to mind for me is my dad holding the back of the bike as I was learning to ride a two-wheeler. He didn't tell me he had let go until after he had, and I had accomplished the deed on my own. And while he was no longer holding on, he was yet running behind, encouraging me, present in case I fell, protector. There seems to be a fine distinction between protector and nurturer. And both of these aspects we give to ourselves in our soul parenting. The nurturer aspect has historically interpreted for fathers as being the breadwinner. However, the definition has been expanded now to include encouragement towards independence and growth as well. And Brenda mentioned this in the opening this morning. In the dictionary, the nurturer is an act of raising or promoting the development of, in this case, the child, as well as the provision of sustenance. As social roles change for men, they are empowered to be more than just the heads of families, or for as equal partnerships become more the model, men are included as the heart as well as the head of families. Now, including Creator as one of the fundamental aspects of fatherhood led me to explore, for some reason, the male gods of different traditions. And for most, it is the masculine energy that was the original creative force, or if not the creative force, the physical yang or active enactment of creativity. One of these gods that was new to me until I did this research is Dagda, the Celtic Irish god of the earth and father god. A formidable fighter, but a god of simple tastes, who dressed in a brown tunic, hooded cape, and leather boots. Dagda had a staff which could slew 9 men with one end, but could bring back life with the other end. He possessed 2 swines, one of which was perpetually roasting, the other perpetually growing. His other symbols are a bottomless cauldron of plenty and a harp with which he controls the seasons. In this description, we see the creator and the nurturer, or at least the capacity for both. It also had me ponder as to whether this may be the root for the term dad or daddy. Papa most likely comes from the Romantic languages, père in French, padre in Spanish and Italian. In the Germanic languages, though, it's a bit of a mystery how daddy is derived from father. Maybe it is derived from Dagda. One of those things that makes me go, And then whether we like it or not, we are all role models to the young people in our circles. And fathers have a very special opportunity to model behavior. My children grew up without a father. And at least part of the legacy that has been left with them, a part that they and I are conscious of and have talked about, is their own commitment for that not to be their children's experience. And I must say that my son is a wonderful father to his 3 boys, ha ha ha. And my daughter has found a wonderful father for her 2 children. There have been, of course, significant male models in their lives, though. And for that, I am truly grateful. I remember Alice Walker saying, "It no longer bothers me that I may be constantly searching for father figures. By this time, I have found several and dearly enjoy knowing them all." And we are invited to be father figures for our own souls. We, of course, recognize that mother figures as well are needed, though today, we're focusing on the father energy of our soul parenting. In the diary of a young girl, Anne Frank wrote, "How true daddy's words were when he said, all children must look after their own upbringing. Parents can only give them good advice or put them on the right path. But the final forming of a person's character lies in their own hands." And this is the truth of it. We are responsible for our soul care, soul parenting. We all have been wounded in the process of growing up, and we can all take responsibility for nurturing that part of ourselves. I'm incredibly fond of the work of author, community organizer, educator, and philosopher Parker Palmer. And it is this quote from him that has really inspired anything that I have said today. He said, "The human soul doesn't want to be fixed. It simply wants to be seen and heard. The soul is like a wild animal, tough, resilient, and shy. When we go crashing through the woods, shouting for it to come out so we can help it, the soul will stay in hiding. But if we are willing to sit quietly and wait for a while, the soul may show itself." Alternatively, if we will walk quietly into the woods, sit patiently at the base of a tree, breathe with the earth and face into our surroundings, the wild creature we seek might just put in an appearance. Let us care for our souls, be parents to our own souls, and recognize our influence on others as well.